The EU says it's okay to bail out airlines after the volcanic ash crisis. Eclipse is certified the 500 in Europe. And the Predator Bee is working border patrol over Texas. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 30th, 2010. A few days ago, the International Air Transport Association put industry losses from the volcanic ash crisis at $1.7 billion and called for a government bailout. Now, the estimate has risen to $3 billion, and the European Union has decided that, as long as it's done uniformly and fairly, bailouts will not be illegal subsidies. The Associated Press reports EU Transport Commissioner Siim Kallas said appropriate measures could include loans and guarantees granted at market conditions, but the circumstances cannot be used to allow unfair assistance to companies which is not directly related to the crisis. Kallas also noted the crisis highlighted the patchwork response of European regulators and is helping bring pressure for a single regulator for all of Europe, which he says could now be up and running by the end of this year. Eclipse Aerospace, which took over what was left of Eclipse Aviation after the bankruptcy, announced this week it will display the first Eclipse 500 very light jet to receive European certification at next week's EBACE show in Geneva. The plane belongs to JetReady, an air taxi operator headquartered in Valencia, Spain. Eclipse Aerospace says it can now deliver Eclipse 500 aircraft, fully conformed to EASA certification and European operation standards. The new compliant models have begun shipping and come complete with flight into known icing capability and GPS-coupled autopilot. Mason Holland, chairman and president of the new Eclipse, says Europe is a high priority and, quote, "We are confident that the Eclipse 500 will prove to be a very economical and profitable aircraft for many commercial air operators in Europe," unquote. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano said during testimony Tuesday before the Senate Committee on the Judiciary that three Predator B UAS are operating in a border patrol capacity along the border of Texas and Mexico, and she says they're not the only evidence of a stepped-up presence there. Quote, "CBP currently has a total of 21 low-energy mobile imaging systems deployed to our ports of entry along the southwest border. Two more systems will be deployed by the end of June 2010. Since receiving its first Predator B in 2005, CBP has increased the number of Predator Bs based along the southwest border to three," unquote. DHS also operates a number of fixed and rotary wing assets, and Napolitano said the technology is supplemented by a large increase in human resources. She told the committee that in the first year of the Southwest Border Initiative, seizures of contraband rose in every major category, while illegal crossings continued to decline. Up next on ANN, NASA's Pete Warden is honored by the Clark Foundation. The University of Colorado has two experiments launching from White Sands in May. And here's the problem with pre-flights done at night. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 30th. I'm Paul Platt. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board has been investigating the case of a Bell 222U helicopter owned and operated by CalSTAR, or California Shock Trauma Air Rescue, that was damaged before a night takeoff from the company's EMS operations base at the Santa Maria Public Airport in California April 9th. It was dark, and the pilot didn't notice before startup that someone had tied one of the tail rotor blades to the tail boom with a strap. The tie-down broke when the tail rotor began turning, and the flight proceeded to Marion Medical Center Heliport in Santa Maria and landed there about 1:30 in the morning. A patient and passenger were loaded on board, but before takeoff, one of the flight nurses called the pilot's attention to something attached to the tail rotor area. He shut it down and found nylon webbing wrapped around the tail rotor shaft, but didn't detect any damage and made the flight anyway. Later, under better light, the pilot found damage to a tail rotor blade and other anomalies. CalSTARS director of maintenance later found that blade's associated pitch change links were also damaged. That's got to be a sinking feeling. The board says the damaged parts are being repaired before further flights are attempted. The director of NASA's Ames Research Center, S. Pete Worden, was recognized this week by the Arthur C. Clarke Foundation for his leadership in space exploration. Worden has written or co-written more than 150 papers in astrophysics, space sciences, and strategic studies, and served as a scientific co-investigator for two NASA space science missions. Before becoming Ames Center Director, he was a research professor of astronomy, optical sciences, and planetary sciences at the University of Arizona. His primary research was on the development of large space optics for national security and scientific purposes and near-Earth asteroids. Worden commented, quote, "I'm truly honored. This prestigious award recognizes technology trailblazers whom I personally admire and am proud to be considered among them," unquote. Foundation Chairman Tedson Myers commented, quote, "Like Sir Arthur, Pete Worden was in at the beginning of countless courageous departures, among them the Strategic Defense Initiative, the revitalization of civil space exploration and Earth monitoring, and programs to get mankind at a working distance from near-Earth objects," unquote. Two University of Colorado experiments will be launched in May aboard NASA rockets from the White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico. The first is called EVE, a rough acronym for Extreme Ultraviolet Variability Experiment. It's scheduled for a Monday launch and will support measurements by the NASA Solar Dynamics Observatory satellite. Another is called DICE, for Diffuse Interstellar Cloud Experiment. It's scheduled to launch May 16th and will study conditions of an interstellar gas bubble in nearby space to determine whether gas is flowing into or away from the bubble. Both experiments will be launched on NASA Black Brant 9 two-stage solid-fueled suborbital sounding rockets. EVE will reach an apogee of about 175 miles, and DICE will fly to about 202 miles in altitude. Still ahead, Harrison Ford joins the Alphabet Groups to lobby for GA in Washington. An orbiting moon probe helps find a lost Soviet rover. And here's what they mean by passive-aggressive. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 30th. I'm Paul Plack. The General Aviation Caucus in the U.S. House is a fairly new development, but the group's event on Tuesday in the nation's capital brought out the major alphabet groups and one of Hollywood's best-known aviation advocates. NATA, GAMA, NBAA, and EAA were there, and so was Harrison Ford. Ford spoke of his passion for aviation, and especially for programs to help young people get involved, before more than 250 congressional staff and industry representatives. He said he particularly enjoys working to highlight EMS flights, the Civil Air Patrol, and public safety flights. Quote, "Approximately 231,000 general aviation aircraft fly throughout this country each day. That's a lot more than people realize. The industry employs over 1.3 million jobs and contributes over $150 billion to our nation's economy," unquote. Ford is currently the spokesman for AOPA's General Aviation Serves America campaign and an honorary board member of the humanitarian aviation organization Wings of Hope. Previously, he served as chairman of EAA's Young Eagles program. Did you know that the distance between the moon and the Earth is slowly increasing? Researchers at the University of California, San Diego, say that's one of the things we've learned by leaving mirrors on the moon during manned and robotic missions there, and for years afterward, measuring the reflections of laser beams bounced off them from the Earth. Now, thanks to information from NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, they have one more target to aim at. The LRO found a reflector left behind in 1970 by the Soviets during the unmanned Luna 17 mission. Previous estimates of its location missed by miles, but the LRO nailed it within 100 meters, and a successful laser bounce was finally made April 22nd from a telescope in New Mexico. The LRO is scheduled for a one-year exploration mission in a polar orbit about 31 miles above the lunar surface to acquire information for a new comprehensive map of the lunar surface in unprecedented detail, to search for resources and potential safe landing sites, and to measure lunar temperatures and radiation levels. And finally, the announcement by the Obama administration that it wants to cancel the Constellation program hasn't stopped contractors already involved from continuing to spend money on development. But the New York Times reports it has brought about some subtle changes at Kennedy Space Center. At the new Exploration Space Attraction, which only opened in December, part of Ken Larson's job is to MC a show to excite fifth graders, featuring rock music and a countdown to a mock launch. But now his script has been modified to fit the times, and he now has to sell the line, "We can't confirm exactly where humankind's next steps in space are going to take us." Did you feel that? Was that adrenaline? The Times also observes that in a joystick video game simulating a lunar landing, successful virtual pilots are now congratulated with the line, "As soon as NASA starts a lunar program again, we'll send you an application." And the program's title, Constellation, has been removed from signs almost everywhere. One that remains is in a courtyard outside the Orbit Cafe, sitting between a recycle bin and a trash can. Come on, is that an oversight? Or is there a passive-aggressive prankster working somewhere in a back room at KSC? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the third and concluding chapter in the disconcerting case of the Birmingham FISDO versus Ed Jeske. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.